Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, which we read as part of our readings this morning. The letter was written primarily in response to a series of questions that the elders of the Corinthian church had sent to Paul, requesting his guidance and direction. These were issues that the elders saw as central to the life of the Corinthian church at that time. Some of these issues, such as what to do about food offered to idols, are no longer even remotely relevant to us today, even if Paul's exposition of his answer contains nuggets of theological insight that remains useful. Other questions, such as rules around virginity, are of marginal significance, and the framework of Paul's answer, governed by his expectations of an imminent return of Jesus, barely relate to us at all. Sexual morality, the question behind today's reading from the sixth chapter, is of perennial significance because of the nature of sexuality. But despite the concern of some Christian circles, almost to a point of obsession, it's not genuinely the central concern that it was in the context of Roman Corinth in the first century. However, what springs to my mind as I read Corinthians is not what Paul was asked, and therefore, of course, the content of his answers for the most part, but the question of what issues are uppermost for the church in our own day. What would we ask of the equivalent of Paul were we to create a set of questions today seeking guidance and spiritual direction? What are the great and central questions of our age and of our church life, that we would seek answers from our spiritual father? What would our 1 Corinthians look like? We might be tempted to jump in with a request for direction on the issues that create such tension and controversy in our church. Issues like gay ordination, abortion, women bishops, and the like. If we asked those questions of a Paul today, many would expect a repeat of instructions echoing the earlier letters. I suspect, though, that Paul's response would be closer to the opening chapters of the letter, where Paul tears the Corinthians to shreds for their meaningless factions. I hear from what Chloe's people are telling me that there are factions among you, some saying ordain gays, while others are breaking communion over the issue. I can almost believe it. I'm sure that future generations will look back in amazement and anger at the controversies that tore apart and devastated the church in our time, condemning our blindness and disregard for the real issues of our age, unable to comprehend that we were destroying the gospel by our zeal for what was not important, are in fact phantom issues. The world, meanwhile, sees the church engrossed in matters that don't matter and dismiss the gospel as trivia. So I found myself asking, what four questions might the church of our age put to our Paul? What is it that we are desperately in need of fundamental guidance? I'm going to propose four such questions. But do so in the awareness that these are no more than what I see as the questions of our age. The challenge I would put before each of you is for you to think also, what questions would you ask? Limit is four, so that we can focus on identifying what is of the uttermost importance to the church in putting forward these four questions. I'm not attempting to give any answers to play the role of Paul. What is important, what is vital at this point, is that we ask the right questions. What is important, what is vital, is that we identify the real and important questions. I suspect that a fundamental reason why the church today is all at sea spiritually and theologically is that we're asking the wrong questions and are focused on the wrong issues. Here then are the four questions that I would write to our contemporary Paul. First, is it possible to be a faithful Christian in the new milieu of global culture, which has not knowing as its intellectual foundation? And if so, how can we express the gospel in this new cultural environment? This, to my mind, is the central and most important question of our age. Behind this question lies all the turmoil of terrorism and religious extremism that is traumatizing the world today. It's not just Christians, but Muslims and all other religions that are faced with this crisis, because the cultural change is global. As the theological, cultural and spiritual landscape changes all around us, where does the boundary of faithfulness lie? What so defines our membership of Christ that its loss puts us outside the realm of gospel and church? The world we live in is engaged in a massive cultural shift involving a whole new paradigm of reality, new ways of living and seeing. In this new cultural environment, a new spirituality is being born, one that is radically different from the past. Will we be able to identify ourselves as Christians within this new spiritual environment? Islam is seeing this issue more clearly than we as Christians. Whatever it may seem, Islam is not in battle with the West. It's in battle with the emerging global culture because it fears that it will be impossible to be both Islamic and culturally global in the way that it is developing. Will it be possible to be Christian? Second, is there any consequence that follows from believing or disbelieving the gospel? We're living in an age that has rejected the notion of life beyond death. Rejection is not a modern phenomenon, but in Western society dates back to the 18th century. The 19th century replacement, the idea of afterlife as being reunited with loved ones, is no longer significant except in folk religion and is dying out even there. For a world that does not embrace an afterlife, is there any meaning to a gospel of salvation? It comes down to the question, what is the gospel today? Third, what are the core moral and spiritual values that we need to build our communities to face the gathering crises of the century, that will enable us to face and overcome the challenges of our time and survive. Humanity faces the real potential for collapse of all civilized life in every part of the earth. If we're going to survive at all, it will be from out of the resilience of a strong faith and with the power of hope. What do we need to do to establish this? And one final question, just a little one. How are we to understand God in a way that does justice both to the revelation in Jesus and the whole realm of scientific knowledge of the natural world? A nice, concise answer would be most welcome, Paul. These, then, are the four questions that I would want to put to our contemporary Paul. What would you ask?